morning, y'all. Greet you in the Savior's name. I always look forward to being here Sunday mornings and listening. And so this morning I'd like to open up with some verses out of Psalm that recently blessed me, and it kind of goes along with what I'd like to share. It's in Psalm 44, verses 5 through 8. Starting in verse 5, through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will trust not in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever. And I just see there how I kind of hesitated sharing what I wanted to share, because I didn't want the focus to be on us, but I wanted to be on God. And those verses show us that it is through God that we triumph. It is through God that we push down our enemies, and it's in God that we boast all the day long and praise his name forever. So let's go ahead and turn to 2 John. Let's see here, 2 John chapter, 1 John 2, sorry. Here some time ago, I was reading through this, and the verse 14 of chapter 2, there were three words that stood out to me that got my attention. And those three words are, in the middle of verse 14, strong, abideth, and overcome. Let's just read that starting there. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. And I realize it's John addressed it to the young men, and it kind of got my attention because of that. But yet, I know that it's for everyone. So I don't want to. My focus isn't on that. But so he says he wrote to them to them. And why did he write to them? Because they are strong, because the word of God is abiding in them, and because they have overcome the wicked one. So I'd just like to look at those three points with, I'd like to have the title, Ye Have Overcome. And I was thinking it might help me just to write that on the board, and then also the three points, Ye Have Overcome. As I was thinking about, is that our testimony? Could it be said of us that we're strong? So I just want to look at the first point here is strong, and I'd like to look at some verses on strong and being strong, and the first thing that I think about when I think of being strong, I think of the verses in Ephesians 6:10. We know those real well, but I'd like to just turn there. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And the first thing, in verse 10, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And we cannot be strong alone. We cannot, it's not by our strength that we obtain. It is through the Lord and through His power. And that's just the first thing that really, you know, stood out to me, is it is through God that we triumph. And Jesus, He's our prime example of being strong. It says, you know, He was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. He was always strong. There was a few songs that we sang that went right along with that. I'd like to read just at one of those, 488 on the second line, I think. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. And it just stood out to me there how that first line, did we in our own strength confide, it just clarified it. It just stood out to me. And I think it was also, I'll leave the next one. I'll leave the next one that I've seen there. But so we know that we're not strong alone, and how God is our example, and He wants us to be strong. I'd like to look at some verses in 2 Chronicles 16:9, and how God is wanting, He's wanting us to be strong, and He's there for us. The first part of that verse, 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. And He's wanting to show Himself strong to those whose heart is perfect towards Him, whose heart is turned towards Him. Those are the ones He's wanting to show Himself strong to. Right across the page there, chapter 15, verse 7, says, be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Just encouraging us to be strong. And I'd like to look at Isaiah 35, verse 4. It says, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. He will come and save you. He says, be not of a fearful heart. He says, be strong. fear not, behold, your God will come and he will save you. And I'd like to also just turn over to Isaiah 40. Let's see here. Yeah, 40 verse 26. And I was thinking of will we always be strong? Will we always do everything just right? Will we always, every time, be strong? And I think that would be, well, I know that we won't always be completely 100% strong. And yet, I think the big difference is if we're willing to go on when we've failed and when we're downcast, we're willing to keep going. That's the difference between a strong person and someone that's not strong, someone. But I just like to read here, and these verses explain that very, very well here. Isaiah 40, verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them by names, by greatness of his might, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one that faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of all the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. And verse 29 here is the highlight. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, I noticed there in verse 30, it says, even the youth will faint and be weary. But those that wait on the Lord, he's going to give them strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And again there, verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increaseth strength. And the devil, he'd like to get us in a downcast position, and he wants to keep us there. And he wants to work in the weakest, he works at the weakest point he can find in our life. And I think he's all right if he's all right with it if we're strong in most areas of life. I think he's somewhat okay with that, as long as he can have a little bit and just keep working there, just have something to do with us, if that makes any sense. Let's not allow the devil to have his way, but let's be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So going on here, the second thing I'd like to look at is abiding. And I know these are way bigger than I can ever, but it's just a few things that I gleaned from them. And abiding means to dwell, means to remain, or it could mean to sustain. Now, right away, when I think of abiding, I think of John 15. I'd like to turn there and read those verses. And again here, let's see here. He says, I have written unto you because you're strong. The word of God abideth in you. I am the true vine, John 15, and who is that? It's Jesus. I am the true vine, or it's God. He is the source. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. I'd like to look at verse 4. Well, it's in John 2 where we get that from is he says, the word of God abideth in you. In verse 4 here, it says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. It's just very clear that without abiding in him, without being in him, and he in us, we cannot bear fruit. At least not genuine fruit. And there's a promise there in verse 7 to those that are abide in him. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. There'd probably be quite a few other verses we could look at promises of that. That's just one of them that I have here. And herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. This, by us being abiding in him, that's how we bear fruit, and it glorifies God. That's what brings glory to him. And so let's turn back to 1 John 2 again. In chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So if we are abiding in him, we'll walk as he walked. Will be walking in the light, as it says of chapter 1 and verse 7. And also, to go along with that, chapter 3, verse 6, talks about whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. So if we're abiding in him, we're not going to be bound to sin. We're not going to be in sin if we're abiding in him. Also, let's turn to, well, actually, it's right there. Also in chapter 2, verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. And in John it says, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He says, let that Word abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, even eternal life. So to those that abide in Him, to those that remain in Him, remain steadfast. Verse 25, and this is the promise that He has promised, even eternal life. Just very clear there. And then skipping over there to verse 28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And when He returns, for in Him, abiding in Him, we won't be ashamed of that. And I think the hardest thing of these three things, of being strong, of abiding, and of overcoming, I think the abiding is what works on, is what's the hardest, because it's just a continuing on, and it's not something you triumph over and then go on. It's not something, it's just a pressing on, which is, I don't think it should be a discouraging thing, but it takes, this is what really is, I was thinking of that verse where it says that he that endureth to the end shall be saved. It's those that continue on, that abide in Him, that will be saved. So I'd like to go on to verse 2, overcoming. I'd like to look at that. Overcome means to conquer, to subdue. I see these three things working together. How we first make the decision to be strong. We first decide, and we're strong in a, you know, we choose Christ. We make that choice to be strong, and then we continue there. We remain and we dwell, and then we overcome. God gives the victory. And I just see those three working together. So I just like to look at overcome here. I always looked at overcoming as kind of as something that maybe you go through something hard in your life, or you're struggling with something, and you overcome it. I always looked at that as overcoming. And I think it definitely is. That is, we definitely overcome. But I was reading in Revelation here after I read these verses, and I noticed some verses there that really stood out to me. So I would just like to turn there. The first one is Revelation 2:7. And if you notice here, if you notice all the promises to those that overcome, and if you notice how, to me, I know I just didn't, to me, this overcoming gave me a whole nother picture of overcoming, and a whole nother, just another meaning, actually. And just the promises that are here to those that overcome. Revelation 2:7. These are words in red. So, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He says, to him that overcometh, he will give to eat of the tree of life. And going on to verse 11, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Verse 17, the same chapter. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And in the stone a new name written. That's to him that overcometh. And then chapter 3, verse 5. This verse here just really blessed me. Really stood out to me. This definitely was the highlight of verses on overcoming. And just, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will blot out his And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Going on to verse 12, the same chapter. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is in New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Then, same chapter, verse 21. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. In chapter 21, I think it's 21. Yeah, 21, verse 7. We'll read that one, 21 verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He that overcometh. This is maybe a little bit different than what the verses we've been looking at. But in chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 11, it says how that they overcame the devil. And I definitely think it could go along with this. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. I would like to turn back to the, kind of lost my place here, but to Revelation where 3:5, I think it was, that one verse. Read that one again and then. Oh, before I go there, I had wanted to read 1 John 2, right where we have been reading in. 1 John 2. 15 through 17, and it kind of goes along with the last verse we read about overcoming him, about overcoming the devil. And I was thinking about things that we overcome and what they are. And here I know the world, it says, "You have overcome the wicked one," and the wicked one could be definitely the devil, but it also could be the world, it could be things like that. And right under here, it talks about the world, and I just thought I would read that. It went along with it so well. Verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I think that encompasses about everything. I mean, there's a lot in there. Those three things. So I'd like to just read that verse in Revelation 3:5 again, about the promise to those that overcome. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." That's all I have. My encouragement is to be strong, abiding, overcoming Christians. God bless you.